Conditions for a Southern Gothic. Therefore my head was kingless. I was a head alone moaning in a wet black field. I was like any of those deserted slaves whose graves are just the pikes raised for their heads, reshackled, blue and plain as fear. All night I whistled at a sky that mocked me, that fluently changed its grammar as if to match desire in my eye. My freedom is possible, it said. As if my torn off head in that bed swamped and whelming them with water had one wish, and it did, to think stranger stuff, to break that boring need to always have a shadow trail its maker such that one, the shadow snaps, rising to kiss the head. Two, the kiss lands, the head flies up in airy revolt. Three, crack from the head come the crows of its thinking. Four, three crows move in minstrelsy against the night. Five, and the head still singing. Last night, a Negro was asked, who among us was made to scratch a myth? Speak. If God made us in his image, it was the first failure of the imagination. You don't have to clap, but thank you. I'm glad to be here. This is my first time reading at Hemingway's. My first time in Hemingway's. It's a lot to take in. That last poem, the context of that last poem is that it speaks to a moment in history called the German Coast Uprising, which is a place in Louisiana. It probably would have been known as the biggest slave revolt in American history, except that they were usurped. The rebelling slaves who killed their white masters were stopped on the river towards New Orleans, killed, and their heads were cut off and put on pikes along the levee bank. It tells me something about this debate we're having right now about civility and about decorum and politeness, because I don't know any free people who got there without having to kill. That being said, I'm also very interested in pleasure. It seems like the black body specifically, but that could also be the brown body or the female body, is unfortunately always seen as a sort of site of injury or pain. And I'm interested in recovering pleasure and the erotic and the feminine in that space. So that endeavor, which obviously is, you know, not always successful because you have to look at the violence as well, is what I'm attempting to do in this sort of next book. So to that end, I want to give you two quotes to sort of contextualize it. This is from Audre Lorde's Uses of the Erotic. And she says, our erotic knowledge empowers us, becomes a lens through which we scrutinize all aspects of our existence, forcing us to evaluate those aspects honestly in terms of the relative meaning within our lives. And this is a grave responsibility. And then also Leo Bersani in an essay called Is the Rectum a Grave? That's a question mark. You can think about that later. The first sentence of that essay is this. There is a big secret about sex. Most people don't like it. I could string him back up the tree if you like. Return his skin's meaning to an easy distance, cold dust blaze and Willie Brown him. You love how the blood muddies the original, the way it makes a stage of my speechifying, this leeching capital from his dying like an activist. I know I'm not supposed to sing of his ringing penetrability, some hole I open and pose on the form, but all I see is bullets, bullets discerning him as years ago it was rope. I could pull it tighter, finger each bullet deeper if you like, an inch rougher, far enough to where it becomes that second heat, erotic. I could use the erotic, if you like, so ungarish, bearing not too frank a mood, subtle, so you need it. Funny how some dark will move illicit if you close your eyes the way, say, my black pleasure is named too explicit for a page, but this menace I put in it is not. I can yank and knot the rope if you like, him like a strange fragment in them trees, and the word again spelled out about his neck would be the rope's predicate, till let wild pattern and fierce his moan. It is a tragedy. No, it is a sonnet. How I know already how he ends. but I can make him her if you like. Regender them to merely canvas for your empathy. Soup for my mouth. Still, if I could but just get this blunt, burnt, lynched body up from out the pocket behind my eye, all trees could be themselves again, all sound. So gender comes up in history as well. This next poem has an epigraph by Robert Hayden from his poem, The Middle Passage, and it's just a sort of a short fragment. Mirage and myth and actual shore. Vernacular is the one slave you know. Zipped up gold in the hold of that ship, what they did was fly, crave. Couldn't they have fantasized, shaping minutes to this rough ethics I speak, not English, but a sense of it, a scorpion I ease hearted and raw from my tongue's tip. So myth was them, was art, was jazz already, at least some premature ghost of her was shade with his 100 foul teeth, neat, original, packed down the Atlantic's roaring mouth, afraid to be afraid. But there is one view of the Atlantic slave trade that's just a view of one boy barefooting some further Afric shore to see some ship's flag snap oddly in the wind and men who didn't have their color right. Lipped up smart in the dark of that ship, knowledge what to have but have a photograph's memory. Who can't see his mother's hands as captive beside him stretch hunger for that shit light or hear in her falling sighs the death of the first idea? I say this is true. At bottom of the bottom of the ship was a history earned. There is this counsel in my ear that is my ear that says a slave shouldn't know this, speak this, descend to be type authentic, but I say someone needs them to, I do, so I write it. Imagine the imagination's power if married this once healthy with desire, not to raise categories or to kill. One could build a home then, finally. One could resurrect a language light enough to fit our flying into. Just a few more poems. What to say? Well, another black person has been killed in Pittsburgh. His name is Antoine Rose, and even his name is a poem. That last name is like activating it. It brought me back to this poem, which I also spent time in St. Louis for graduate when I went to MFA, where Michael Brown was killed. And of course, one needs to wrestle that in many ways, and some of the ways is through poetry for me. But one of the things that stayed with me about that particular incident is just the image, which went viral, which is a word that I think we should listen to. His image and the sort of lack of agency in the posture of his body on the ground. And that remains with me. He's not the only one, but that particular image stayed with me. So I wrote this. This is called Continuance. 2014, Ferguson, Missouri. Forever here, Mr. Dark, and tricking me, steaming from a manhole in Missouri, or else you're damp between the motions of the trees, revealing the breezy discourse of those trees' black sound. I can see now how everything I've learned of you is wrong, how an air of dumb assumption lounged on my brow, a liar winking, claiming a shadow is as empty as my childhood vision of the falling sun meant emptiness. But every child knows what moves the wind at night, knows what leads some birds to develop their unrest in the high green of some trees, or lore what leans against that tree's bark. A man? Or is it the just barely intelligible idea of one? Head back, maybe eyes closed, moaning, working to hysteria, the erection rising like a haunted chain away from him. If I move closer, carrying a glass cup, if my mouth is that cup, though I've known fear move as bravely in this world, move like a physical man, it can shoot a boy. So shoot me. Who said that? Was it really the black of my tongue? But how could any breed of blackness ever wish to be penetrated? I could tell you how a foot creaks even falling dead in the night, could tell the red a mother cries when she feels that absence drop like pity inside her, but I cannot say what a bullet says as it enters a child's skin. But come in. you can enter me, Mr. Dark. Let tonight be the first night I deeper see the pregnant possibilities of your design, how your fingers move to build such attitudes, turning a moaning of the wind into a man, making what is a tease of grass of the hill into terror, now pleasure, then back to grass again. Aren't you the mirror on which all lights balance? Aren't you the line on which all lines cross? Anything lives in you, so that the dark over there could be the dark of Mike Brown, still full of breath, that the dark right here can be the dark of my own bastard mind, that this dark come closest to my lips is a shadow's knowledge, full, not ever empty, charitable as it is wicked, risky as it is good, fascination, perversion, and I move to it, to you, a shadow chaser, hearing the birds make restlessness in the trees, watching the man stroke velvet from his body, head still back, maybe eyes parted, he's singing now, he's at that point when I must surrender my knees to gravity and mouth ready, get gone, I'll choose what ground I lie on. I think I have time for maybe two more. Yes. I didn't really make a list, so I'm trying to figure out where I want to go with this. They're all sad. That's so sorry. let's do this. Beautiful bottom, beautiful shame. The way he writhed beneath the other man argued his loneliness. But he wasn't just a blank measure waiting to sound. However much an O his mouth made, he wasn't just an O, thrusting back up against what is almost like a finger, though it isn't, always needing to be touched like a finger to be held. I'm lonely. My waist cinched inward like some vintage Japanese fan, the clever blade of my back working inch by inch toward a pleasure half mine, the way fire pleases. Wax pleases. What does possession mean? No, really, tell me. That at this moment, someone beside myself can feel how many times I shudder. Asked if I like it. I like it. I speak out those three syllables, mess myself. The point is, I think, to empty. It feels good. To be two men interlocked in a sentence still forming. We dance the dance that says, I want you, come closer, come in me. No, really, he said, as a whispered boy, you want to be possessed. Because you see, he had been removed from his body then, per usual, his beauty like a talisman offered, his woundedness revealed. I will go away after these next two poems to weep. I will. I wrote, this is a very, I wanted to read this one certainly because it's the most recent one. I wrote it Wednesday, so you will be kind, hopefully, in the listening of it. It's called Hymn, as in H-Y-M-N, church hymns. Okay, Hymn. There's a valley a man's worked back makes, and there's a violence too. There's a river a man's one finger makes, and there's a violence too. There are wakes a man's kept attention makes, and there's a violence too. There's a falcon a man's spike voice makes, and there's a violence too. There's a way a man will turn to you, beg, I'm hurt, and there's his violence too. Turn to you of a sudden, beg, I alone, blame this sly, am hurt, and that's a violence too. There's a moment I say, listen, and all his violence chooses not to hear it, so that choice, blameless, random, sly, becomes a violence too. Men do choose the violences they deliver, like slivers of heat, pride, prejudice, come up their throat, a kiss to take all the while and quick the nearest man's side, or his business, or his stranger argument, or any benefit of doubt, or his acumen, or his wit, and of course he won't admit it, but his violence too. All men have it. Take it in, even how I do, I route my violence too. Though lately what I'm trying to make sense in me more feral and femme is all upset and not a man and hardly was or ever will and sees no more the purpose for the violence in that claim. A man turns to you and claims he alone is hurt, as if it isn't possible his tall hubris hurt him first. Why be a man when there are valleys you can be? Penetrate and you can walk them, take in their onyx expanse as a primer nature, and see some shy ribbon of river move in patient wakes, the very line a falcon takes returning to the falconer. Why be a man when it's the very idea of flight you can be, uptight as in suspension, above its very half shadow, now bruising the ground as it chooses the ground, not in earth, but in itself. I think this means I can be something other than what I was raised, can strike out him for him, and all that's violence too. For it's easy enough to conquer a man. I look in his eyes and grow pathetic. Okay. And then I will go away with this. This is, a poem. It's called Vulnerability or Riding with Death. Thank you, 20th century acrylic crayon canvas. Then I could make each wound itself an eye, a womb, a way of seeing out upon a world that did act against me, yes, left some injury. Him, my harshener, my rider, who I truly fuck with, I ride him from the zero's place, all bottom, that I know could know this way to pretender seeing, a freedom. I mean, I fuck with a sin, first word for blood, like through that canon law would find and did right friendship, rest, pleasing repetition. Did I know him as a music then? No. Call it the law of caught mirrors, moment when no awkwardness, one face faces the other and together seems to say, I'll make some infinite repeating more of you. That's true, right? That's half a reason why I even care look at him, these eyes, my wounds of power. Attraction is what sex claims to be. Is that it? But I wonder why my eyes do work like this, fit, attracted to the shapes of things first, shape of his body, or how he's some black atlas shouldering that shape and me calling the burden beauty. He fine as hell, one tongue calls another, speech or intimacy, no matter. But trust, I'm fine myself again, I am this breed of grammar to lie and let his nerve, his honesty slip slick, servile and hard into what mirror my interior holds. What we have is the body. Is that it? Like my body were some ancient well, inverted tower, orvieto, no more for water than to loiter this prayer of refuge in. Never mind. I think you know the drill. Come in. You only need take each stair stone by stone to travel half the double helix toward that bottom's friendship, damp, maddening, and deep as dark does go to make all shapes irrelevant. Is it the dark, finally, the one shape we can know? Is it blackness? Should I turn up? Dare I? Why not disturb the lit universe? Who I fuck with isn't so much or only a matter that we fuck or could, but that he leads me to the root of the word vulnerable, which is myself, and bid me kiss it. It's possible the dark does hold at once and easily all simultaneity, to live, to almost die, shadow and be dead, faith, apology, time. Let him press himself further on my vision. Let him deeper scar me, though, with my consent. Then I will know freedom in the shape of his body, how his arm swung so casually at his slick, most naked side becomes my eyes' theater, him that eases me I truly fuck with. Is that it? I see now how the veins of his forearms come up to the very surface of my seeing requires kind desire owed for me. Death is revision, that I would bray like a buck consciousness and animal gold. I know this time afterward he lets go his thirsty hold of me, moment when he turns away his face, his front entire, stretches, rises so that his back, the very crown of his shoulders, stands up, apparent, extant, Basquiat's above me, it is strength, finally, not failure, not abandon, I'll see. How the deep melanin of his skin repeats me, we are not in danger. It is not all times true. Nobody knows my name. Once I saw it as the cruelest joke that I be called to him or any man when it's been black men's masks so long hurt me. But look how well the hair clevers down his jaw, above his lips, speech or intimacy cuts against my cooing touch. I say it's infinite. Such I see it some hurts could be welcomed. Yes, the idea one needs. Or is it a question? What would it make you do, really? The word freedom. Thank you.